All right, got that off of me. Hallelujah. And now you're responsible for it. Amen? Okay. Well, let me tell you one funny. Is that all right? I'm going to do it anyway, so. Billy Graham was returning to Charlotte after a speaking engagement when his plane arrived. And there was a limousine there to transport him to his home. As he prepared to get into the limo, he stopped and spoke to the driver. He said, "You know, sir, I'm 87 years old, and I've never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I drove it for a while?" The driver said, "No problem, have at it." Billy gets into the driver's seat, and they head off down the highway, and a short distance away sat a rookie state trooper operating his first speed trap. The long black limo went by him doing 70 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. The trooper pulled out and easily caught the limo, and he got out of his patrol car and began his normal procedure. And the young trooper walked up to the driver's door, and when the glass was rolled down, he was surprised to see who was driving. Immediately, he excused himself and went back to his car, called his supervisor. He said, "I know we're supposed to enforce the law, sir, but I also know that, you know, certain important people are given certain courtesies. And I need to know what to do because I've stopped a very important person." The supervisor said, Is it the mayor?" He said, "No, sir, it's someone more important than that." "Is it the governor?" He said, "Oh, no, sir, it's someone much more important to that than that." And the supervisor said, Is it the president?" He said, "Oh, no. He's even more important than that." Supervisor said, "Well, then who is it?" Young trooper said, "I think it's Jesus, because he's got Billy Graham for his chauffeur." You know, the world respects men and women of God, though they may assail them publicly. They personally, they respect men and women of God who live right before God for a long period of time. Aren't you thankful that though we know probably 65-70% of, you know, leaders in the kingdom don't finish well, aren't you thankful for some that are finishing well? Amen. And aren't you thankful for a pastor and his wife that are a million mile anointing and they're still married and still love God and still on fire for God? Amen. Aren't you thankful for their leadership? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight about something. Maybe you've thought about it before, maybe you haven't, but something that I believe is a key to receiving healing. I teach at we have a healing school at Karis Bible College. Every Thursday, you can tune in online. You can get on the archives and I think it's 2:30 our time here. And we have healing school, and I was praying and seeking God about this, and the Lord really gave me a strong word about an important key many times we overlook when it comes to healing, and that is humility. Everybody say humility. What I want to talk to you tonight about is humility and healing and how they work together. Look at James chapter 4. And let's look at verse 6. James 4, verse 6. But it says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but he gives grace to" who? "He gives grace to the humble." According to this verse, we can receive more or less grace. Now, let me ask you a question. Bible students, how many of you would like, if you had opportunity, from more grace? How many of you take more grace? Less grace, how many take less grace? I want more grace. He said, in that context, he said, he resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. Who gets more grace? The humble. Though it's already provided, grace is already, full grace has already been provided, it's the humble who receive it. Yes? An important part of the grace God has provided through His Son is unlimited healing. And humility multiplies healing grace. Humility multiplies healing grace, and pride hinders it. The more proud we are, the less grace we receive, even though the Father has abundantly bestowed it upon us and provided it for us. The more proud we are, the less grace we receive. The more humble we are, the more we receive, even though we don't deserve it. Isn't that right? The more proud we are, the more full of self and less full of God we are in our souls. In our spirits, we're born again and we're wall-to-wall Jesus, but in our souls, that's where the issues, problems are, right? And the more proud we are in our souls, how many of you ever been there? Born again, spirit-filled, you know, talking, you have your prayer language, but in your soul, you're right now, you're not yielded to God. As Mark talked about tonight, you're outside of that circle of grace. I think Pastor had a message or several messages some time ago on the circle of grace, and it's powerful. But the less proud, the more full of God, and the more positioned to receive His grace we are. Now, humility simply means this. You know, a lot of people think humility, when you discover you're humble, you just stop being humble. But humility is simply this. I mean, I'm not saying this is all that it is, but I know it's this. I know it's this. Humility is depending on God and agreeing with God. I know it's that. You can write that down. I'm not saying there's not more to humility, but humility is depending on God and agreeing with God. So when He says you're the righteousness of God in Christ, what does a humble man or woman say? I am. If He says He's called you to China or called you to go someplace, you know, on a mission trip, well, the humble man or woman says, I can do that. You don't have a dollar in the bank, or you don't have enough at least in the natural to go. A humble person says yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. And then you depend on God to walk it out. You know, no Lord is an oxymoron or a moronic ox. I don't know which one it is. It's just, you know, you can't, no Lord, if He's Lord, what's the answer? Yes, not no. Amen? And so, humility requires you to bring your flesh and your pride low into subjection to His thoughts and His ways. Because the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. There's no falseness in Him. There's no pretense in Him whatsoever. And humility involves being real and honest with God. No put on, no pretense. He knows our heart anyway, doesn't He? Let me give you an example. When I was a teenager, we were attending a Baptist church, Fundamental Baptist Church, in Houston, Texas, and a Greenwood Village Baptist Church. Harold Clayton was the pastor. And I heard the gospel for the first time in that church. But, you know, as a 14-year-old teenager, I was there trying to impress the girls. And there was a lot of hormone evangelism going on then. Praise God. And so, you know, and because of that, I didn't want to go down, though many times I was just sitting there, I was sweating it. At the altar call, I was just, you know, I was trembling, I was sweating, but I didn't want to go, Pastor, because, you know, I didn't want someone else to think I wasn't saved, especially that pretty girl. pastor's daughter I was trying to court. Or maybe a deacon's daughter. You know, now I just, and they're not going to let me see their, you know, hang out with their daughter if I'm not saved. And, you know, I want them to think I'm saved. And so anyway, so I didn't go forward. But then one night my mom said, well, I want y'all to go be baptized. At least y'all need to be baptized. We had five. I was the oldest of five. So, you know, all of us are down there, and the pastor comes down, and we went down to be water baptized. And I, here's how I know that water baptism doesn't save. Because he came and asked if I was saved, and I lied to the Baptist pastor at 14 years old. I lied. I didn't know if God was going to strike me down. But I told him I was saved. And then I got baptized. I went down a dry center, came up a wet center. So don't tell me baptism saves you. Because it didn't. If the water didn't save me, I was still lost. It was my pride that kept me from receiving. It was my pride. I didn't want someone else to think I wasn't right with God. I wasn't saved, but I wasn't. Are you listening to me? And it wasn't until 7 years later. I could have been saved during those 7 years, but my pride kept me from being born again. How many of you know God knows? And pride is a killer. It'll stop you from receiving from God. Anything from God. Pride will stop you from receiving blessings financially. Men, we're the worst about it. God, we're praying for something and God sends something. Oh no, no, I can't receive that. No, 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 no. Can't receive that. No, you go give your charity somewhere else. I mean, I've seen that happen a lot. And people, they don't receive from God because of their pride. It was 7 years later, I got born again in a Methodist church on the word I'd heard in the Baptist church 7 years before. I could have gotten saved any time in between. Yeah? And you know what? There are people in the church that are sick. I'm talking about physically ill, chronically ill. They hear messages on healing, but their pride keeps them from receiving. Are you listening to me? There is a strong connection between humility and healing. What I was doing with that Baptist pastor was a big put on. It was a pride show that failed to receive salvation. And there are some Christians who need healing grace. God's already provided it. Who are saying, I believe, but it's not yet real in your heart. If it's not yet real in your heart, then just admit it. Tell God, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm struggling with this. Lord, would you make it real to me? Yes. Yeah? I make it real to me. Yes. How are you doing? Blessed. Well, some people that's real. Other people it's just a put off. How are you doing today? Blessed. I'm blessed. Well, you know, maybe you are, maybe you're not. And some people are saying that, but they're really not. And their soul is full of all kinds of problems and struggles, and they're afraid to ask for help. And the male population is the worst about this. Humble yourself today and say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. If there's anything in my soul, if it's not real with me yet, I mean, I believe it up here, but it's just not real down here yet. Make it real to me. Make healing grace real to me. I'm not getting it. It hasn't dropped from here to here. Make it real to me. Amen? Open my heart, open my eyes so I can see. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should what? Heal them. Do you see that? Do you see the connection? See, a hard heart, a dull heart is typical. It's speaking about a proud heart. If your heart's grown over, it's dull. You know, you've got the t-shirt, been there, done that, heard that, know that. And so, you know, we don't get excited when Rodney Howard Brown's coming again in again because, you know, I've been there, done that. I'm not, you know, listen, man, if the man of God calls someone in, I've got my expectors out to receive from him. I'm coming to receive from God. And I won't be disappointed. But you got to if you're going to receive from the Lord, you've got to throw away that t-shirt. Shred it. Been there, done that. Heard that, know that. Are you with me? I heard that message before. Yeah. I know that before. You know, I've heard. Listen, man, I preached the same message before, and I preached it again and again and again, and I hadn't even got it all yet. Yeah? And we have this attitude, you know? But look, man, I want to stay childlike with God, and I want to stay teachable because I know if I'm humble, if I depend on God, and I agree with God, I'm going to receive more grace. And I want more grace, John. I want grace for this season of my life. I want more grace. And so I'm just telling the Lord, man, you can do what you want through me. You can go where you want through me. You can say what you want through me. You can do what you want through me. I'm just agreeing with you and depending on you. And we're going to have miracles. We're going to see signs and wonders. We're going to turn the world upside down or right side up. Yeah. I'm not going to get dull in my heart. I'm not going to wear the t-shirt. I'm going to shred that t-shirt. And I'm going to put on a new t-shirt that says, more grace. Humble heart, more grace. Look at your neighbor. Say, he's talking to you, I know for sure. Humble heart, more grace. Yeah, humble heart. Everybody say, humble heart. More grace. Psalm 69:32 says, the humble see. Look at that. The humble see. And the humble shall see and be what? Therefore, and you who seek God, your heart shall live. The humble see. Now then in Psalm 34 verse 2 says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear. Everybody say, the humble see and the humble hear. Remember back at Matthew 13 here, it says that heart that's grown over, it's dull, it can't see, it can't hear, it doesn't understand, it doesn't receive. Are you with me? So what kind of heart receives? The humble heart. And let me tell you something, guys, sometimes it's a dangerous place to be in church where the power of God is so prevalent like it is here, and then you kind of get, you know, used to it. Well, I know what's going on. I kind of know the pattern here. I know what's going on. I know what's going to happen this time. Don't ever get used to it. Man, be childlike. What keeps this pastor going is a hungry heart. He's still hungry for the move of God, hungry for changed lives. Man, never get tired of it. Never get so used to it that we don't have this wonder and awe about ourselves, about what's going on. It's just, Lord, it's such a privilege that you would count us worthy of being a part. Are you hearing me, church? See, you know, we want the move of God. I mean, we want to see healing. We want to see miracles and signs and wonders and all that. But let me tell you something. If you want to stop it dead, let your heart grow cold. Let your heart get hard. Let it become covered over with, you know, been there, done that, know that, heard that. Jesus. Guys, he's got more grace.
Yes.
I said he's got more. There's more on the menu.
Yes.
I said there's more on the menu. He's got more good things for us. He's got more healing for us. He's got more supernatural for us. He's got a greater move of God for us. He's got more for our families. He's got more for our ministries. But it's time. We've got to call on our God. I don't know it all. I haven't seen it all. I've just seen that much. And Lord, thank you for everything you've done. But Lord, it's not enough. I want more of you. I want more grace. And I open my eyes. Let my heart stay humble.
Yes.
I want to see more. I want to hear more. I want to understand more. And then so that I can not only be healed, so I can heal others, I can be a healer of others. I tell the Bible school students when I'm teaching, listen, guys, you know, when you're preparing, when you're, you know, you study and you get in the Word and you use the notes. And I mean, I've got notes here, but I said, you cannot transform people with your mind. I said, when you communicate, it must be from your heart. You only can change people by the Spirit from your heart. You don't change people with your head. Amen? And what that requires is simply this. It's a humble heart. You've got notes. You've done all this preparation. You've got your song list, John. But the Holy Ghost, you're depending on Him. And He said, don't sing that one, sing that one. Don't preach this verse, preach that verse. And you're dependent upon Him. And then what happens? You're humble. You're manifesting humility. What happens? More grace. I know about you. I want more grace. Yeah? Pride results in no heart understanding. You don't receive healing grace. You don't see. You don't hear. You don't. None of that. There's a strong connection between humility and healing. That's the point I'm making here. And I'm going to show you an example in the Bible. But I just want to look. I want to get that down. Okay, there's a strong connection between humility and healing. And one of the things that I've known over several years of just being passionate about getting healing to people, you know, not just at I've been to the Benny Hinn meetings and I love Benny Hinn and I love any way healing can get to people, but you know, I'm passionate about people staying healed. And I've watched people and receiving and I see the miracles and all this, but then you know, afterwards, people sometimes they lose it because they're not taking time to get in the Word and stay humble before God and make heart adjustments and stay out of pride. Amen? Praise God. So, look at Matthew 15, and we'll just spend the rest of our time in Matthew 15. And I want to give you an example of someone who humbled herself and received healing. Matthew 15, and let's look at, we'll just read through these verses and then we'll come back, you know, and hit these verses kind of one by one. And then we're going to present ourselves before the Lord, let him make heart adjustments, and then healing's going to happen all over the house. I mean, there's no problem with God wanting to get healing. There's no magical formula, anything like that. Jesus already took stripes on His back. He's already deposited everything that you and I need, and there's healing grace in the house. The real issue is humble hearts to receive it. That's the real issue. Are you with me? So here's a woman that I believe we can learn from Matthew 15, and let's look at verse 21 and. We'll just read through verse 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. I mean, it was like this. Have mercy on me, Son of David. That was like that. She cried out, so it wasn't some little whisper. My daughter is severely demon possessed. I think the King James says sore vexed or something like that. It was bad. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, verse 24, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Verse 26, but he answered and said, It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. King James says, truth, Lord. Everybody say, truth, Lord. But even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now here's an example of a woman that was outside of covenant, but had a real challenging situation with her daughter, and she needed her daughter healed. Amen? And so she must have seen Jesus heal or heard about that, and so she came to Jesus as a woman who was outside of covenant. There was no claim that she had on covenant promises. She was a sinner woman. Okay, she wasn't in covenant. And we could say she was not born again, though no one at that time was born again, but she was outside of covenant. Now, there are three problems that we are certain that Jesus was aware of here. Number one, she was not in covenant with God, so she didn't have a right to the blessing of healing. Number two, she was using covenant terminology. Son of David, though she was not a covenant person. Number one, she was not a covenant person. Number two, she was using covenant terminology, though she was not a covenant person. In other words, it was borrowed phraseology to her. It wasn't real to her yet. She saw it working for someone else, and so she was just saying what someone else said that caused someone else to get healed. It wasn't real to her. We know that was true because she wasn't in covenant yet. Are you listening to me? She was just trying it out. Then number three, there was most likely some serious yielding to sin going on in her family for her daughter to be that grievously vexed and tormented by demons. Most likely. Are you with me? In fact, if you pastor people for very long and you see people in chronic problems, if people are having chronic financial problems, I mean, it's not rocket science. If you're in chronic financial problems, most likely you don't tithe. In other words, it's not about whether, it's not about you giving a certain amount as much as it is you're not trusting God. With your first. You're not writing that check out. You're not giving to God first. In other words, you're not trusting God with your money. And if you're not, you're going to have financial problems. Are you with me? If you're having chronic problems, it's because there's some area you don't have revelation about. And that's what was going on here. How many of you know Jesus knew that? She wasn't in covenant, so when she was using covenant terminology, it was just borrowed. It wasn't real to her. And number three, there was probably some bad stuff going on in her house that opened the door to the devil. So knowing that, you just can't touch someone on the head and say, be healed, because they will get healed. The power of God in Jesus' name will heal someone. But if they go back like they came, they're going to open the door to the devil and they'll lose what they got. Are you with me? And so many people, that's what happens. And so sometimes we've got to drill down and listen to the Holy Ghost, not always lay hands on everybody suddenly, and realize that sometimes people's lives, their hearts aren't adjusted to the Lord. They're not walking in humility. So you can use the name of Jesus, run the devil off, but they've got a big landing strip in their soul of bitterness or unforgiveness or judgment or something else. And you can tell. It's real easy to tell by the whine in their voice. Pastor. I've been praying for God to do something, and nothing is happening. And you just get this, you know, let me tell you something. Somebody with a whine in their voice, they're not humble before God. You know what they're doing? They're blaming other people. They're blaming God. They're offended at God. A whine in the voice communicates to me there's no faith in the heart. Now, it's not always. Sometimes people are just in a real bad way, and I'm going to have compassion on them and help them and love them, and I'll, you know, lay hands on them and pray for them and all that. But here's the deal. I know there's more grace for them. And I know they can't receive it being offended at God. And there's a lot of people offended at God that won't admit it. Oh, no, I'm not offended at God. No, I'm not offended. I don't have unforgiveness in my heart. I don't have offense toward God or anybody else. But you listen to them very long, and that's exactly where they're at. And so you know what happens? They're lying to themselves and to God, and they're in pride. They're not agreeing with God. And so what happens? They don't receive grace. And part of that grace will open their eyes, open their ears, so they can understand, they can be healed. Are you with me? So we know that Jesus was aware of that when this woman came to him. And so as we read through here, then we can maybe understand why Jesus did some of the things he did. So then verse 23, but he answered her not a word. So Jesus ignored her. He ignored her. She asked nice and he walked away. You know, if you don't know why God did something or did not do something in the time frame you wanted to, you just know God has a good reason. And you know, you got to know that. You got to know that about spiritual leadership too. Are you with me? You always need to stay on God's side, especially when you don't understand why something did or did not happen. It's just, how many of you know, when you get to heaven, you're going to be doing a whole lot of this. Oh. Ah. I see that now. I understand. You were good. You were right. You were just. How many of you know we just don't have it all clear all the time, do we? It you know. The first thing to know in judging your heart is God is good and right and just all and fair all the time, even when I don't understand. And here, he just walked off from this woman. He just walked off. But let me tell you something, guys. Jesus is my Lord, not my understanding of Him. Jesus is my Lord, not what I can wrap my peanut brain about Him. Are you with me? Jesus is my Lord when I don't understand what's going on. And so I just trust Him that He's good. I've judged Him good and fair and right, even when it doesn't look like it's good and fair and right. Because I'm saying, you know what? When a year and how many ever months ago, February of 2011, you know, we got fired, the first time I've ever been fired in my life for doing a good job. And it wasn't good. It wasn't right. and it wasn't fair. And I just decided, you know, well, we besides coming to pastor and friends, you know, help me get my heart right. I mean, I'm thinking about suing and all these other things and in the natural. But then I thought, you know what? God, you told me you had a new assignment for me, and I don't care if this man can't change that. And I'm going to keep my heart right. I declare that you're good and you're right and you're fair, even though it doesn't seem like it. Are you with me? But see, a lot of people, they get stuck, and then they lie about it. They get in offense. And they stay, and you can tell, you talk to them for a little while, and you can tell right where they're at. Because they'll go relive that thing and relive that thing and rehearse that thing and over and over and over again. Man, that's the wrong place to live, guys. Are you listening to me? If something doesn't look right or seem fair, how many of you know the problem isn't God? No, if it doesn't look right or seem right, here's the deal. It's my looker that's out of focus. It's my seamer that needs to be adjusted. Are you with me? If it doesn't look right, doesn't seem fair, say that with me. My looker is out of focus. My seamer needs to be adjusted because God is good. He's right. He's fair all the time. And see, all the time, guys, what the enemy's doing is working on your soul, trying to get you focused. It's perspective. He's getting your perspective all messed up. And he's getting your focus off of God, on the circumstances, so that you'll judge God not right, not fair, because of the circumstances. Are you with me? I mean, this woman could have responded in pride. She could have said, well, excuse me, Mr. Preacher. I thought folks could get help around here. I thought you were a man of God who cared about people. I thought this was a ministry to help folks, but I guess I was wrong. And she would have left without her daughter receiving healing, her pride intact, her opinion held high. But she was not deterred. She kept following and crying, have mercy on me. And then she was crying out after Jesus left, she was bugging the disciples. Isn't that right? Look at it. But he, verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Man, this woman is bothering us. Jesus, please do something. You know, Jesus is getting a lot of cries. Now he's getting whines from his disciples. She could have acted indignant. When they said, look, send this woman away. She's bugging us. She could have said, send me away. Well, that's a real Christian thing to do. She could have quoted scriptures on love. And she could have told them off and blessed them out real good. And she could have told them off and left without. I said left without. She could have told them off and held her opinion high and had her pride intact and left without. That's where a lot of Christians are today. Watch closely. Watch it. Watch it. And see how to receive healing grace. Jesus' second response. Look at verse 24. But he answered and said, I'm not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And now, you know, he's given her another test. First, she's ignored by Jesus. Then the disciples, she's rejected by the disciples. Now he's saying, look, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to other people. She could have allowed herself to become angry and judgmental and she, you know, making some racial prejudice accusations against Jesus. She could have said something like, you know, so we're not good enough for you Jews, huh? You're not sent to us? Who do you think you are? I know a lot of Canaanites who live better lives than Jews, I know. All this rationale. See, I'm just making a point here, trying to go behind the scenes. All this rationale And see, the United States, Western Christianity is becoming way too close to European Christianity. And they've exalted the mind and reason and all this stuff. And I tell you, Jesus will ask, he'll ask you to do something that defies some reason sometime. And you got to make a decision. I'm judging God as good and fair and right, even if it doesn't look like it. My looker needs to be refocused. If it doesn't seem like it, my seamer needs to be adjusted, because my understanding is not Lord of my life. And if I got to have God all figured out in the box of my mind, then I'll never be in faith, and I'll never receive from God. I'll never receive grace. Are you listening to me? She could have done all that, and she would have left with her pride intact and without healing for her daughter. Instead, she humbled herself to worship him. Now she's ratcheting it up. She worshiped him. There's no more borrowed phraseology now. Just a sincere cry from her heart. Lord, help me. You remember that day in the car, Charlie? That's what it's like. And that's what I did. That's what I did as an up and outer in that Methodist church. I finally cried out. I don't care in front of all these uppity up people. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm walking down this aisle. And I don't care if they think I'm sad. I don't care what they think about me. But I'm making my way to Jesus. And the guy said, well, now do you want to transfer a letter in the Methodist church or make a profession of faith? I think I said, it's that last one. I don't have any letter to transfer. In the Methodist church. Don't tell me you can't get saved in the Methodist church. And it wasn't anything I heard that guy preach. It was what I heard, the seed that was planted 7 years before by that Baptist pastor. And I cried, Jesus, take me. I don't care what all these other people think about me. I want to know you. Yes. Hallelujah. And then, man, three years later, we heard about, we used to watch Johnny Carson. Y'all remember him? Anybody ever watched Johnny Carson? Y'all admit your sins with me. And, well, we would watch, this was in our carnal days, and I mean, they didn't teach us anything in this church. I was born again, but didn't know anything. And so Johnny Carson left town a lot. And every time he did, we'd flip the channels, and I turned on the 700 Club. So Christian television can change lives. And man, we turned over, and we're watching Pat Robertson, and we're watching Catherine Kuhlman. And man, God started speaking to our hearts, and we ended up being filled with the Spirit, 1976, and we've never turned back. It's like God, you changed our lives. You brought us out of a pit. You brought us out of a life of self-dependency. And I didn't have anything. I didn't know anything. I didn't have a dad that could pour into me. And you started giving me fathers. And Lord, now, man, my life. I want my life to count for others. And man, it was like, and that's the way Janice and I've been living since 1976. We got filled with the Spirit. Why am I telling you that? Somebody here needs to be filled with the Spirit. It's a pride buster. Tongues, spiritual language is a pride buster. God chose tongues as a sign, an evidence that you're filled with the Spirit, because the tongue is the most unruly member. And when you're willing to yield your tongue and lips to speak a language your mind cannot control, it's a sign that you're filled with the Spirit. And when you're willing to speak a language your mind can't control, and it might sound, you know, weird to other people, it's a pride buster. Why is that important? Because God gives grace to the humble. Are you with me? And this woman, she wouldn't stop. She wouldn't be defeated. She wouldn't let her mind stop her. She wouldn't let her pride keep her from what she knew that God would provide for anyone who would humble themselves. Are you with me? There was no more borrowed phraseology, just a sincere cry. It's got to be real from your heart, people. You touch God from your spirit. He is a spirit. You would think that this was ample proof of her sincerity and humble heart, but Jesus had one more humility test to give to her. Verse 26. But he answered and said, I mean, she's worshiping God now. She worshiped. If the Bible said she worshiped, she worshiped. And Jesus said, well, it's not good or meet, I think King James says, to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, this is a test, guys, a big test. Jesus was not being mean here, though in the natural it looks like it, but the facts were that the Canaanite people's lifestyle were less than like human. Are you with me? He was helping her make heart adjustments that needed to go into a position of humility to receive. Her response, New King James says, yes, Lord. The King James says, truth, Lord. Truth. Everybody say, truth, Lord. I mean, whatever he says about you, just say, truth, Lord. Yet, and she went on, truth, Lord. But look at this. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So you know what she was saying? Guys, she attributed the goodness and mercy to God, even though it looked like he was dissing her. Even though it looked like he was, just casting her down. He was just saying, look, here's the deal. I'm out of covenant. I'm outside of covenant. You got healing bread for the children, but even the little dog, you're good to even little dogs. Whoa. Wow. Jesus turned around and said, man, this woman's got great faith. You know why? Because she didn't give up when her pride tried to tell her, this God, he didn't care about you. He's saying all this stuff about you. She didn't give up. I said, she didn't give up. You know what happens with most Christians? Something happens that we don't understand. Some situation happens that it doesn't line up. You know, we get upset. You know, we get our lookers and our seamers all working. We got it figured out with our minds. Watch out. Your pride's going to move you out of grace. Are you listening to me? I just say, God, you're good. You're fair. You're right. What happened isn't good, might not look good, might not be, but I'm telling you, you're good, you're right, you're fair. And I'm attributing good to you, Lord. Doesn't matter if it doesn't look right. Doesn't matter if it doesn't seem right. Doesn't matter what's going on. I'm going to receive. I said, I'm going to receive. And I'm going to humble myself. And Lord, there's nothing that's going to stop me. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how many times I've been prayed over. I don't care who's laid hands on me. You've got healing for me, Lord. I'm not going to figure it out. I'm coming to you. And I'm declaring, Father, that you've got healing for me. And Lord, if I don't understand it, if there's something my eyes need to see, if there's something my ears need to hear, if there's something I need to understand, then Lord, help me. Bring me into humility. Help me deal with pride. Help me to adjust things in my heart. Help me not stay and live in the land of offense. I cannot live in the land of offense and receive from God. And so many Christians, they just embrace the right to be offended. I'm sorry that they didn't do right by you. I'm sorry. Leif, I don't mean to offend you by what I'm going to say. But let me tell you something. I'm sorry about the people that will let you down. There's many that you've wanted to father you and mentor you and all this, and some have let you down. Some didn't line up. Some didn't work out. But part of the problem is you had your seamer and your looker trying to work it all out instead of just resting where God had you. And then the enemy tries to get you in a land of offense and get you off. And I'm just declaring over you, Leif, you're a disciple of the Lord. You're going to walk in humility and you're going to receive all that God has for you. We've all been there. How many of you have been there? Man, I've been there way too many times. And I'm just telling you tonight, there's healing grace in this place. I said, there's total healing grace in this place. I'm going to tell you this one story, and then we'll pray for some people. You remember Naaman, the leper? The woman said, you know, there's a man of God over there. If you go over there in the land of Israel, there's a man of God. He'll pray for you, and, you know, God will heal you. And so he went over, you know, he went over with all his entourage. He went over with his limousine chariot. Pulled up in front of the man of God's house. And the man of God didn't come out. Did he? Didn't come out. He just sent a messenger. Said, I want you to go dip 7 times in the river. In a dirty river at that. I want you to dip 7 times. And then you're going to come up clean. What does the Bible say that Naaman did? He went away wroth. That's royally ticked. He was wroth, King James says. He was put off. You know, I come all the way over here and the guy didn't, I mean, I thought he'd have a banquet and, you know, I mean, he'd have a banner outside and say, welcome Mr. Naaman, all this stuff, you know, and then he could come and pray this important prayer over this important person. And what happened? He went off and he was about to go still with his leprosy. And his servant said, hey, so listen, Mr. Naaman, I know that you're an important person and all that, but what if he would ask you some hard thing? Would you have done that? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, what do you have to lose? Go dip in that river. And he dipped 7 times and he came up clean. But remember what it said? Behold, I thought. I thought he was going to do this. I thought he was going to do that. See, when it's that deal, your looker and your seamer starts to get messing with you, and your understanding tries to get above the lordship of Jesus in your life. And sometimes, guys, it's real simple. That healing is real simple. Jesus is just telling you. I mean, there's times it's never the same. That's the reason I wrote our book on. The book that I wrote on healing, it's never the same. He always heals, but he doesn't use the same method. You know, when I was healed of cancer in 1977, the Lord said, "Go! I want you to go to these 3 men, have them pray for you. The cancer will die, the devil will leave, and you'll be healed." So that's what I did, and that's what happened, and I was healed, and it was awesome. But then when Michael went through his situation, guess who we went to for prayer? Those same 3 men. And guess what happened? Nothing. This time we had to do what God said. This time he said, I want you to immerse yourself in my word. And we quoted 70 scriptures 7 times a day over Michael. Nothing magical about it till one verse, passage leapt off the page. Psalm 119, 89, 90. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven and your faithfulness is unto Michael and his generation. Well, guess what happened the next time one of our kids got sick? We pulled out the 70 scriptures, tried to quote them 7 times a day. Guess what happened? See, let me tell you something, guys. God's got healing for you every time. Yes. But you have to humble yourself before God. Yes. There's been times he would have my wife and I go pray for other people. Sometimes he'd have us just praise him. Sometimes he'd have us, you know, speak the word. Sometimes he'd have us listen to worship music. I mean, there's not any certain particular way. But the bottom line is this, if we're humble. That's good. If we're humble. If we're listening. And I'm going to lay hands on anybody who wants prayer tonight. who wants healing. But let me tell you, and you know, it's no problem. Healing's no problem. I'll lay hands on you in Jesus' name, and sickness will die. It'll leave. It'll go from your body. Pain will leave. You'll be healed. But listen, guys, it's so important if you're going to keep your healing. You got to keep your heart humble. I don't care what happens. I don't care who says what, who does what, who offends you, who disappoints you. Are you listening to me? Somebody's dealing with that here tonight. You're dealing with disappointment. And you're in the valley of decision whether to enter into offense. And I'm just telling you, let it go. You commit it to God. You trust Him, and healing will flow. Amen? Amen? God's got healing for everybody in the house. But I'm more concerned. And the assignment that I have is that God make the adjustments in your heart. That you walk humbly before God. That you depend on Him. That you listen to Him. That you resign. You resign as the Lord of your life. I'm talking about you tell your understanding what to do. You are not my Lord. You're not ruling my life. You tell it to, it's okay if I just say this, shut up. Hush. Be still. You're not ruling my life. God is good. God is right. God is fair. I might not understand it, but I'm telling you guys, it wasn't right or fair that cancer came to my house. It wasn't right or fair. But I just let the devil know. I'm telling you something. You're coming in one way and you're fleeing seven. And I'm going to make you pay. You're going to rue the day you ever came to my house. I'm going to shout it from the housetops. When I have this testimony, this test is going to turn out to a testimony. And I'm just going to stay with my God. And I'm going to love my God. And I'm going to worship my God. And healing's going to flow. And healing's here tonight. The healer is here tonight. I said, the healer is here tonight. Amen? So we're just going to let Jesus heal. We're going to let Him do what He wants to do. Maybe PS40 can come back up. Let's let Jesus do what He wants to do. Amen? Let's let Him do what He wants to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Barb, do you have something? Okay. Let's let the healer do what He wants to do. He's here. Say He's here.
He's here.
Hallelujah. If you need healing in your body and you're willing to let Him make the adjustments in your heart, just stand up, come down to the front. We'll lay hands on you. We'll let God make the adjustments.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.